Hey, welcome to the Folk School Radio Hour. I'm Julie Tomorrow, and you are listening to 91.9 WDRT in Viroqua, Wisconsin. And we are sitting in the studio today. I'm so excited to have Rock Hancock in here. Rock, thank you so much for joining me in the studio today. I'm really excited to have a wide-ranging and very relevant conversation for everybody about movement and how we move and fitness and that kind of stuff. Yeah, so why don't you introduce yourself and we'll get going.
Yeah, thanks. I'm so happy to be here and have a soapbox once again to stand on.
Yes.
Because I feel very passionate about what I do. My name is Rock, and I have been consuming movement or teaching movement since I could crawl. And we'll get into why that is funny in my world. So I started professionally teaching movement while earning a degree in kinesiology, some small random school in Virginia called Longwood. And I felt as though, like, after failing out of college multiple times and trying to become a veterinarian, that maybe I should try something different. And so I was like, oh, you could get a degree in exercise. And so I was like, let's just go do that. How hard could a kinesiology degree be? And it turned out to be a lot harder than I thought. Anatomy and physiology, I had to take a couple times because it was very challenging. But then, like, biomechanics was awesome. Exercise physiology was awesome. All these things are great. And I learned after having a four-year degree that I didn't know anything about movement and exercise. Like, I had a degree, but what did it mean to prescribe exercise? What did it mean to move? And I had my narrow lens of, I wanted to be a strength coach after college, so I got the gold standard certified strength and conditioning special certification, right, from the National Strength and Conditioning Association. I did internships with, pay-to-play systems and youth athletic development programs. And this was all cool, but it was a very narrow window. And I thought I was going to be successful in that window. But I graduated college in 2010. And so there was a lot of, like, financial crisis stuff stemming from, like, 2008.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of these places where I did my internship, like, they didn't exist anymore. They went belly up. And so, like, I had this, like, expertise in strength and conditioning, but all the jobs that were out there were, like, personal training. And I struggled to become a personal trainer, not because of my credentials and my education and my knowledge, but because I was 300 pounds. And I started playing rugby in college. So I played for 4.5 years. I took 5 years to get a four-year degree, which is why 4.5 years of rugby.
Yeah.
And I was a big guy. I was fit. My rugby team, we went to nationals three times in 5 years. I was able to participate in two of those. And then the year after I graduated, they ended up winning the national championship for our Division III. So we had this really cool legacy. So I was like, I was fit. I was knowledgeable. I was all these things. But you don't realize how much aesthetics are – we're hung up on aesthetics with something like as a strength coach versus a personal trainer. So I would have all these phone interviews. And they would go really well. Then I would do an in-person interview, like, "Oh yeah, thanks for coming in. It was nice to meet you."
Yeah.
And then I'd follow up like, "Hey, I haven't heard from you guys. What's going on?" It's like, "Oh, we went in a different direction."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Wow, how did we go from like this amazing phone call?" And then it didn't dawn on me till I was at Busch Gardens with my buddies, and I didn't fit in the normal roller coaster seat. Mm. I had to wait for the other roller coaster to come along for bigger people.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm not a normal-sized human. I thought I was small, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of, like, I wasn't a, 400-pound lineman, right, in the NFL, right? I'm like 5'9", right? Almost,
yeah.
5'9". And I was like, around 300 pounds, but, like, people didn't want to hire me to help people on their fitness journey because I didn't look fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's amazing. I came across like different diet things at the time, meaning the paleo diet. And I was like, oh, okay, this goes against everything I thought about from what I learned in college. And I gave it a shot. And, like, for whatever reason, like, I lost the weight, changing my macronutrient profile and stuff like that. And then I lost weight, and all of a sudden, like, I got offered jobs after losing 35, 40 pounds.
Yeah.
And it was this, like, man, like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this sucks. Like, nothing changed about my knowledge base.
Yeah, your credentials were
my
the
credentials
same.
Were the exact same. The only difference is I looked different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it was just this wild thing that, like, oh, like, this is stupid. I ended up getting a really cool job with the United States Marine Corps as a strength coach, where I got to do some really amazing things and work with a lot of amazing people and learn from a lot of amazing people. And in that time while I was there, like, I had been lurking on natural movement, specifically MoveNAT, M-O-V-N-A-T, and Erwan Lacour. I had come across Erwan and his, like, weird Tarzan fitness trend in college, learning about the functional movement screen, and him and Gray Cook, who is the creator of the functional movement screen. It's like this, you have these seven tests, and people go through these tests, and you could tell, like, their potential for injury, essentially, and like, having that fitness and sport background, like, it was relevant because I was trying to learn how to identify athletes who are at risk for injury from non-contact issues, and how do we prevent that to keep them bigger, stronger, faster, and higher performing.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was this, like, weird shirtless man, like, doing cool stuff barefoot, and a lot of my, like, primitive movement brain from, like, motor development was like, oh, I really want to nerd out on this stuff. And then social media was starting to become more and more of a thing around this time, and we started to see a shift in, like, consumption, right, of how people were consuming fitness. And I looked in the mirror, and I didn't look like the guys doing this crazy Tarzan fitness. So again, like, back to, do I belong in this industry?
Yeah.
And so I lurked on natural movement. I lurked on Erwan. And I was like, man, I really want to do this stuff, but, like, I'm a fat dude. Like, mm-hmm. It's not for me.
Yeah.
I need to stick to, like, powerlifting, strongman stuff, things like that. So I, like, you know, got really into Olympic weightlifting, which was really fun, working with the tactical strength and conditioning population, who were really into, like, CrossFit and other things. So we were, like, the organized version and, you know, science-backed version of some of that as a strength coach for the Marine Corps. But then I started working with, I would say, people who felt like I felt in their bodies. It was the gentleman who, like, stayed up playing Angry Birds till 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why am I 400 pounds? And I don't feel good in my body.
Yeah.
It was the postpartum mom who was, you know, her husband was in the military, so she got access to the gym. She, like, I have, like, 4 kids at home, and I'm tired, and, like, now they're old enough where I can, like, come work out, but, like, I don't know if I belong in this gym.
Yeah.
And so I started personal training these people in addition to training the active duty folks in the military, and I realized that these are just, like, people.
Mm-hmm.
These are, like, normal day humans who they want to move their body, but they were feeling like I do, and which is baffling to me because I'm like, I knew I had all these credentials and all these things, but, like, they didn't feel confident in movement. So we found, like, I found my confidence as a practitioner by helping them find confidence in their body.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And I realized I didn't have the ego for working with the military.
Yeah.
That somebody else cared about the letters after their name, the brag of, like, I train Marines, you know, whatever. Who do you train? Fat moms, get out of here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I do want to train fat moms.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, that's who I want to help. Like, they want help. They yeah. don't have any ego. They're just like, I don't like how I feel. I want to feel better.
Yeah.
And so I left that job.
Mm-hmm.
I left a federal government job with, like, 1 year from getting a lifetime, like, pension.
Which, you believed in it. I believed in it.
Yeah. My parents, like, why did you leave? You were about to get, like, that pension. And I was like, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What matters is I want people to feel good.
Yeah.
And we left DC and we moved to Wisconsin. And I went through, like, big time depression because I had, like, no job because no one knows me in
right.
Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, like, which ended up, like, working itself out at some point. But, Ended up getting a job as like a corporate wellness person with an HMO in Madison. And I saw that MoveNat, so this organization I'd been lurking on for like 7 years at this point now, I feel like, was going to do a certification in the Twin Cities. And I was like, maybe I'll go, right? Yeah. Like, I'm a little fitter now. Like, yeah. I'm a little lighter. Like, let's go do this thing, right? And I went to this fitness certification and around natural movement and the methodology. Like, I got the book and I was like reading through the textbook essentially that we have in that world. And I was like, oh my God, this makes the most sense. Like, of all the different certifications I had gone through, all the methodologies I had studied, like, this one was rooted in like primitive human movement. And I was like, oh, this is like, if I were to ever be smart enough to write a like how to teach physical education book for the general public, this would be the book that I would strive to write.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like everyone, everywhere should like read this book and like study it. Practitioners should study it because it is inherently like human-centered.
Yeah. And we should say MoveNat stands for like natural movement.
Stands for natural movement. And it is a, you know, trademarked entity. They offer certifications and curriculum all over the world, digitally, et cetera. So you can like follow their guides and teachings, et cetera. I myself work for MoveNat as a team instructor. So I get to travel around and lead certification workshops in mm-hmm. MoveNat's methodology specifically.
Yeah.
There are other natural movement people, Katie Bowman. She's amazing. If you don't know her, you should follow her as well. She's great. And there's all kinds of then the students of all these people also everywhere. So you can find your flavor of natural movement, which I realized at this certification in the Twin Cities was that I am a human. And mm-hmm. this beautiful person who was the instructor, he saw each of us and like our humanness and like was like, hey, you're a human, you get to move. And how I move, right? He said, how I move, Nat, will be different how you move, Nat, right? Mm. And that each of us will take what we learn from this methodology and we'll apply it through our values lens, our movement lens. And, you know, I started to think about like archetypes in fitness, right? You know, our offensive linemen, throwers in the Olympics, like they're not small people.
Yeah.
Right? They're big people.
That's very freeing. You've been given permission.
Yeah, I was given permission to just move how I get to move.
Yeah.
And like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of saw this as I was like coming up in the personal training world and other things working with, I'll say those islands of misfit toys consumers, right? Like mm-hmm. they're cast mm-hmm. off because they don't belong anywhere, but like we all belong to the human species.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, humans are movement generalists. Our specialists are our athletes. They're
yeah.
the 1% of the 1%, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But like if we were to go to any like indigenous society right now, the vast majority of people aren't the hunters. They're generalists.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And our physical education should be kind of generalist, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at PE, how it's taught, it's very sport specific,
yeah.
which sports assumes you have a foundational competency in physical capabilities.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to be athletic, we assume you already know how to skip, jump, throw, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to refine those skills. You're going to become a specialist. We don't actually teach generalist physical education,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and so this was like, I'm unpacking like all these things in this like weekend certification, and I come out of it like, oh no, I get to move.
Mm-hmm.
Every human gets to move. Every human is invited to move, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the industry, just like all other giant, stupid systems, sucks, right? We tell women, you get pink dumbbells. Ask any newer mom when her arms look the best, when she felt the strongest. It's when she had the dog, the groceries, the kids, all of those things, walking up a flight of stairs, right?
Yes.
And none of that was a tiny pink dumbbell that weighed like 2 pounds, right? But that's what we sell to people. We sell to them like, you're a 2-pound person, right? That's what you get. And like, this is dumb, but this is what our industry does. It creates these spaces, these situations where we are then self-limiting in our own beliefs and our own competencies because we're not supposed to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll caveat that, say, like, I'm over 200 pounds, so physics is real. It takes more effort and force generation for me to jump 20 inches than it would be like someone who weighs 120 pounds. Physics is physics.
Yeah.
So that means I have to be that much stronger and more powerful to cover the same distance. So, mm-hmm. you know, our body does play a role in what we can do, like ultimately, because physics is physics, but it doesn't say we cannot do something. We just might have to work harder. And as long as we're willing to acknowledge that, then we can kind of shift that internal messaging, like, okay, if I want to be able to jump, I got to be able to squat X number of weight because it is going to be my body weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or percentages
of my
body weight, right? So when we think about things in terms of like gravitational load, like, okay, like if I want to run as a person who is over this, like I probably should strength train because I need to strengthen the tendons and musculature of my body to handle higher impact forces, right? And
mm-hmm.
so it's not to say we can't do things. We just might have to work out differently.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, when we start looking at it through this motor development lens, like a baby doesn't go from birth to climbing on the counter to get a cookie.
Right.
Right. This baby, in order to, and this is where, you know, movement and why learn about movement, right? Movement is this thing that allows us to explore our world more fully.
Mm-hmm.
If you're that baby, right, your vision is limited for those first few months, right? You can't
mm-hmm.
see that far.
Yeah.
Which, side note, I got all the weird visual learning aids, like the different mobiles and all these different colors and patterns, because I was like, my firstborn, I was going to like make him this like superhuman by like doing all these cool things to stimulate his motor development and cognitive development. Then my second I didn't care about, and in some ways my second is probably like more fit than my first.
Yeah.
Because I had this like training mentality for my first, but like, anyways, that's a side note.
Yeah.
But like kids, babies, in order to learn about their world, they have to learn how to move through their world, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to roll from their stomach to their back so that they can, or their back to their stomach, so they can get up into a crawl. And then crawling, right, that opens up a whole new world for them to explore. And then they earn the ability to stand up and walk. They
mm-hmm.
earn the progression to climb up onto that counter to get that cookie, right? Because
yeah.
they're motivated. I want that. I know what that's like. I want to learn why my mom and dad don't want me touching knives. So I'm going to go explore the knives.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's all curiosity-based.
Mm-hmm.
And when we limit our movement ability, we limit our curiosity. And so when in this country do we see curiosity and movement start to decline? It's 6 years old. When kids go to school, they get told to sit in a desk and not move. They get told to not ask questions,
mm-hmm.
right? I can go on a whole nother rant about systemized education and its hindering of creativity and movement, et cetera, but I don't need to.
Yes. Well, yes.
Today. but that's like, that's what happens. Like
mm-hmm.
we create an environment where movement is frowned upon, or it's like it's not necessary. And you know, when I take adults to playgrounds, like, why can't I hang on the monkey bars anymore? Well, you stopped hanging on the monkey bars,
right? Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
stopped hanging on the monkey bars, and we get into this world of adult-based consumption, right? And like, kind of back to the self-limiting beliefs, right? I no longer see myself as a human generalist exploring the world through movement. I see myself as like, oh, I like running because it comes easy to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm only going to run. Or I'm bendy, so I'm only going to do yoga because I'm good at that inherently.
Yeah.
Right. Or I'm a meathead. I like to pick stuff up, so I'm going to lift weights.
Yeah.
And then I don't do the running. I don't do the mobility and flexibility work.
Right.
And we self-select what is easy and comfortable, and we become really bad specialists. Right? We're like, I like this thing, so I'm only going to do this thing because there's no way doing more things would ever make me better. Diversity is not the answer.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And so I'm going to hyper-focus on this one aspect of human movement and make it my whole identity. right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we live in a society where identity is everything, mm-hmm. right? I can't just go, I'm a human generalist. And people are like, what does that even mean?
Yeah,
right? Like, what do you mean you're a human generalist? Well, like, you know, I like to play, I like to climb, I like to lift, I do everything.
Yeah.
Like, well, that seems silly. You're supposed to specialize, right?
Right, yeah.
And it is this funny thing is like, you know, we ignore play, but if you watch kids on the playground, they don't self-select, right? Mm-hmm. Now, there are certain physical characteristics that make someone more inclined to climb, someone more inclined to lift, someone better at jumping. Like, we have those inherent things we could specialize in, and that's why we have professional athletes across many different skills, right?
Yes.
Like, they're the 1% of the 1%. But most of us could dabble in all the things,
yeah.
right? Like, and like, that's okay, because at the end of the day, we're generalists, mm-hmm. right? Now, we mm-hmm. all have the things we're good at. Like, I like to think I'm the best at cooking in my world. Like, I like to cook. That is where, like, but I'm not, like, I'm not a Michelin chef. But I'm
right.
also not trying to be.
Yeah, right? Yeah, right.
I don't think I could. That's a lot of effort and work, and I don't want to do that much effort in that world.
Yeah.
And then secondarily, like professionally, I like to think about I'm a good steward of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I say steward because at the end of the day, you, Julie,
yeah.
I don't come to your house and like, hey, it's time to work out. You have to decide
yeah.
when you're going to move.
Yeah.
Right? And I'd be curious, like, what does movement mean to you? I mean, you've heard some of the stuff I've talked about, but like, what does it mean to move for you?
I guess that's, you know, that's kind of almost hard to answer because there's like the little workout class that I take. And so mm-hmm. then we're, you know, sometimes we're crawling, but sometimes we're also like lifting weights or pulling
yeah.
heavy things. And then there's also just like life. Like sometimes it is those grocery bags or carrying mm-hmm. the kids upstairs to bed or, you know, like that varies from day to day. So it, in a way, I'm like, I am like a movement generalist,
mm-hmm.
but I am not an intentional movement generalist.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I have my ruts
mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm,
a way
yeah.
where it's like, okay, yeah, I'm, you know, I can do, you know, this thing well or good enough,
mm-hmm.
but I am surely lacking in some other places
yeah.
Where it's like, oh, you know, like we were talking earlier and I was saying how I don't really jump on the trampoline with my kids anymore because it hurts my knees. So
yeah.
to me, that says, the kind of ache in my knees says, don't do this anymore, give
yeah.
this up. But then maybe to you, that says, oh, here's an opportunity, actually.
Exactly, an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Awareness.
Yeah.
But, you know, go ahead, keep
oh,
going.
No. Yeah, no, I. It's yeah. it is, you know, the you don't hang on the monkey bars, so you can't hang on the monkey bars kind of thing,
yeah.
where it's, you know,
yeah.
if you use it or lose it kind of
exactly.
idea. And I certainly have intentions in my life to use mm-hmm. it and not lose it, but I also don't make time for that play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to the playground and hang on the monkey bars.
Yeah.
I go to the playground and I sit and knit while my kids go on the monkey bars, go on the swings, like
yeah.
run around, climb the walls,
yeah.
like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're the generalists who are doing
yeah.
all the
yeah.
things. They don't, you know, stick with the straight path. They're
yeah.
like, oh, I could climb that wall, even
yeah.
though it's just the wall of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
yeah.
the playground part.
Yeah.
You know, they do
yeah.
it all. So it's like maybe the lesson here is
yeah.
go and hang on the monkey bars.
Go and hang on the monkey bars, yeah. And, you know, but there's so much more to that. Like, I remember pre-kids, you know, I am a darker-skinned male covered in tattoos and a shaved head. So I have a look,
mm-hmm.
a very distinct
mm-hmm.
look. And
your name is Rock.
My name is Rock. And so depending on the neighborhood, I might not look like I should be at a playground enjoying my freedom of movement and expression. Because if kids are at that playground, why is a single person, male, at a playground?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I would go to playgrounds here and there. And as soon as kids showed up, I would just leave.
Right.
Which
yeah.
I felt that wasn't fair. But I understood.
Right.
right.
Yeah.
But then it was interesting, like, as I had kids, like, oh, I had a reason to go to the playground now. I
mm-hmm.
get to be here because I have kids. But then another, like, weird social hierarchical behavior thing or pattern arose where it was like parents on their phones would be like, why are you playing with your kids? Do you think you're better than me? Or they'd be like, you're not, that's not for you. That's for children. The weight limit on the sign says this. You're too big for that.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, and so sometimes I would like sit down and get on my phone instead of play with my kids, which I was like, wait, why am I hiding who I am and what I want to do? Because this person is uncomfortable. That's their discomfort. That's their limiting belief.
Yeah.
Right? That this playground is only for them. Our culture doesn't have adult playgrounds. It has playgrounds for kids and benches for parents to sit on or caregivers to be on their phones and ignore the children. Right? Because that's what you do. You like, you have this thing and you don't care what's what. And it's funny. Like, this is played out professionally as well. Like, I was leading a certification in Chicago. We went to one neighborhood playground and it was a nicer part of the neighborhood and people threatened to call the police on us. Oh. We established ourselves like, hey, we're this fitness certification. We have these candidates who are learning about movement and we're going to practice here. And they're like, no, you're not. This is a public space. Yes, but it is not for you.
Oh,
we went 2 blocks away to where the socioeconomic landscape was drastically different.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, are you guys doing like Ninja Warrior stuff? Like, what are you guys doing? Can our kids play with you? And we were welcomed into that neighborhood playground. And it ended up being this really cool catalyst for conversation of who gets to be in what spaces, right? And who are the spaces for?
Yeah.
Right? And it's funny because I used to show this video of why Chinese grandparents are more fit than you when I did corporate wellness talks. And it's this playground filled with nothing but active older adults, which is the fancy way of saying old people.
Yes.
Right. Active older adults, right? And, you know, they're hanging from the monkey bars. They're doing hacky sack. They're jumping rope, not with one jump rope, but like multiple jump ropes, beyond double dutch.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're there in community, moving together, playing together. Like, you have guys like older gentlemen hanging upside down from the monkey bars doing sit-ups while like another guy punches them in the stomach. This video is hilarious because it's all the archetypes we see in like Globo gyms, but like as older adults outside moving together. But culturally, that is something they embrace.
Yeah.
This concept of like older adults get to be on playgrounds too. And it's wild. Like you come here, we don't have older adult playgrounds in Mass. And when we do, they're the same things we would see that are okay for older adults to do, which is like sitting down in rowing machines, like a sit-up machine, not this like thing that is just like a open-ended play device, right? Like we saw in this video from China. And, you know, it's like, oh my God, like we limit even, like we like, hey, older adults, you need to work out, right?
Right.
But like you can only do this.
Chair yoga.
Exactly. And like kind of you're talking about like you're not intentional necessarily with like your movement practice. But I want you to start thinking about your environment. Does your environment encourage movement? Could you imagine if every doorway in the world had a pull-up bar? We now are invited to hang every time we walk through a door.
Right.
You can choose to take that invitation or not, but at least it's there, right? If you walk into a room and there's nothing but chairs and you have a floor-based lifestyle and commitment, are you going to sit on the floor or are you going to sit in a chair?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We have floor-based lifestyle, meaning we have, you know, cushions on the ground. We sleep on Japanese futons.
At home, right?
My home is like as movement diverse as I can make because at the end of the day, I am a human and I have a job and I have caregiving and I'm going to be tired. So I created a movement that forces me to actively be engaged in some movement competency one way or the other, right? I stacked my firewood 100 yards away from my house on purpose.
Yeah.
So I have to fill up by dragging a sled through the snow, the crates outside my house, and the crates only hold so much, right? Yeah. So I now have to work harder, right? And it sucks. There are some days I'm like, why is the firewood so far away?
What have I done to myself?
But then like, oh, I get to do this heavy thing.
Yeah.
Like I get to do this work. And you know, if you go back far enough, which actually isn't even that far, like wintertime was not this time of rest. If you wanted to survive in winter, you had to work harder for food, right? You had to work harder to stay warm. And it was physically more demanding right? Yeah, yeah. And now we're like, oh, wintertime is like nature's taking a rest, which is true.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It is true. Nature is resting, but our resting should be active, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we just sit around, eat bonbons and really good soups and stews, which you can do that.
Also.
Right? Also. And knit and other things. Yeah. And what is it, hige or hige or whatever, like the whole like—
Scandinavian.
The Scandinavian, right? But like, are we just using it as an excuse to not move? Because
mm-hmm.
winter is longer than summer here. And if you want to go hard physically all summer, why are you not taking the time in winter to build up that physical resiliency so that you can play harder in the summertime?
Right. You're starting at a disadvantage
The term I coined at some point in the past like decade was age adventurously.
Mm-hmm.
And people like, is that like an older adult program? And I'm like, no, it's not. I'm tired of like—
Everyone's aging.
Everyone's aging. We're all aging, right? And like, you know, think about if your friend's like, hey, do you want to come canoeing or rock climbing or hiking? How do you feel in your body when someone asks you to do something that requires a physical competence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you say yes? Do you hesitate and say yes? Or do you just say, no, I'm okay?
Yeah.
Because you are scared of not performing,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's this social pressure all of a sudden, like, am I fit enough to go for a hike with my friend?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Am I comfortable enough and understand my body enough to just like go rock climbing or something, right? Like whatever it is, you get to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you say, yes, I want to do those things because my physical practice helps me age adventurously. I get to say yes to anything and anyone because I'm confident that I will find a way to have fun regardless of my age, regardless of my, you know, abilities, because there is a way to move,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking anyone to be like Alex Honnold, like doing his climbing, but like, could you go to like an indoor climbing wall where you're belayed and other stuff and it's like super controlled and safe? Like you could do that. Like you get to do that, right?
Yeah. Well, and especially in that circumstances, there's easy and there's harder. Like you can like choose your own adventure.
You could choose
as long as you're choosing an adventure.
An adventure, yeah. And I think, you know, so many of us forget what it was like to be a motor development infant and go, I want that cookie on the counter. I'm going to figure out how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
We lose that. And I can't tell you how many clients have been frustrated to go, I'm paying you to tell me what to do, not to think about what to do.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And I get that. We make decisions. It's hard being an adult.
Yeah, there's decision fatigue.
There's decision fatigue. And like, but maybe that's like not my problem, but like how much we're being told we need to consume.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have time for exercise. We don't have time to cook a nourishing meal. Like these things that are inherently human needs to survive and thrive, we don't have time for.
Yeah.
So it's not my problem.
Right.
It is the greater societal systems telling you that you don't get to work out because you didn't find enough time, right?
Right.
Like maybe there's just too much demand on us.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not an individual fault.
It's not an individual fault, no.
But it's like a collective messaging that we have like received or been even brought up in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's put on the individual,
mm-hmm,
right, to fix it.
Yes.
Like you need to address your issue.
Right.
Right? Like what if you live in a food desert?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
If like you don't have, like, you know, people are like, oh, I need access to like gym equipment. No, you don't need thousands of dollars of gym equipment. You get a janky pull-up bar for your doorway, crawl around your living room and hang. That's enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, and I think that is like a really good note or thread to pull on for a minute is how little you can get away with having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's not about access to a gym or you know, I've seen things where it's just like a 2x4 on the floor.
Yeah.
Is a balance beam.
Is a balance beam. And I have 2x4s in my living room.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it's like anybody, you know, like I say anybody, yes. If you have access to a lumber yard, it makes it more accessible. And they will cut it. Like if all you have is a Prius and you can't fit an 8-foot 2x4, they can cut it at the store so you can fit it in the trunk of your Prius. I know this because I've done that.
Yeah.
Right? I go, hey, can you cut these 2x4s for me? And they're like, why? I was like, because I need to fit them in my Prius. And then you deal with those looks and that weird judgment from the person at Home Depot.
Yeah.
But like, who cares? Yeah, right?
Not everyone needs to have a truck. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in their job.
It's in their
job.
He's
being
paid
by the hour.
You know, but it is all these dynamics, right? And these perceived barriers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I literally, like, movement is a very powerful metaphor. And I think about all the folks who I've been fortunate to work with, I'll say, in a recovery lens, like big recovery, like whether they're suffering from chronic pain or history of substance abuse, you know, the postpartum mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
their, you know, whatever trauma or recovery we want to give label to, the barriers that they're able to move over or obstacles they're able to navigate in their life through movement exploration mm-hmm. has been my favorite thing to be witness to. Like today, we were vaulting in my barefoot fitness class here in Coulee Roots on Main Street. And I was like, look, you all have different skills and you're all different ages, different abilities. And by the end of these progressions, you all demonstrated a higher level of competence to move over this obstacle as high as our waist with ease. Like, you all were running towards this thing that was essentially a wall as high as your waist, and you maneuvered over it with ease and confidence. Now,
yeah.
Think about what other obstacles are you perceiving in your life that you're scared to move through or around or over.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, like, it is this thing when people often, like they shared with me, when they unlock a skill in their movement practice, how it has helped them unlock a thing in their, like, real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is this beautiful thing. And turns out there's, like, a whole, like, world of, like, of this, right? Like, and I took a trauma-informed weightlifting course because I was interested in this, like, this psychological phenomenon mm-hmm. of movement and metaphor. And it was, like, a 40-hour course in and around how can movement help people, specifically strength training, help people recovering from, like, big T traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially was like a mirror to like why I self-medicated with strength training.
Yeah.
Which was like really hard to kind of sit with and face. Like, movement, specifically heavy lifting, was this thing that was safe for me and that mm-hmm. I could find my power when I've had power taken from me.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I never wanted to get like bullied again or beat again or whatever. Like, I was going to get strong enough and no one was going to touch me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, oh, this is why so many of us engage with movement to a degree. It is because it is this empowering tool.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you take a step back, it is also gate kept, right? Like, people are like, you're not allowed here.
Yes.
This isn't for you.
Yeah.
Right. You don't look like us. You don't move like us. You don't think like us. And
yeah.
it is funny how tribal fitness gets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
wait, aren't we all human?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we're all human. We all get to move. And I've had people who've come to me as their last hope for their movement journey.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I had a gentleman, he's like, the personal trainer I hired laughed at me because I didn't know how to deadlift. But I literally was hiring a personal trainer to teach me stuff. And they laughed at me because I'm a male who doesn't know how to deadlift.
Right.
And they literally laughed out loud in my face. So
that's
like,
so awful.
It's and so awful.
I think there's like this almost this idea that you have to be fit to go to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. like you kind of, if you show up knowing nothing, people are going to be like, oh, that person's,
yeah.
you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And or even if it's just like you're perceiving that,
mm-hmm.
even if it's not fully real.
Yeah.
That still is a hindrance.
Yeah.
And it's still real. It's yeah. real to
it's
you.
Very real. Like, case in point, I had a degree in kinesiology
mm-hmm.
and I still didn't think natural movement was for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't look like the people on social media.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And even as someone who is like, you know, I'll say at this point, after almost, I feel like, how old am I? Like, you know, close to 2 decades worth of like experience.
Yeah.
Like, I no longer like, I'm like, oh, I don't. Movement's not for me.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
like, that's dumb. Movement's for everybody. And it's been this very liberating thing. Like, dancing is terrifying. Like, expressive
mm-hmm.
movement
mm-hmm.
terrifies me.
Oh, yeah.
Terrifies me. And I'm like, I'm a hard style movement guy. We're like, we're going to do stuff. Like, we're going to, like,
I'll do MMA, right? Because that's like, that's hard, right? That's like masculine and like it's rough. And I'm gonna lift weights, and expressive movement is terrifying. But I recently decided when I moved here that I was, if I'm gonna be a subject matter expert in movement, I will explore movement, like big M movement. And we're very fortunate to have this amazing dance instructor, Mandy, and her Bodies of Water programming. And I took an expressive movement class with her, and it blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I found, like, I've been trying to, like, all the different flows. Like, so the only acceptable flow movement is, like, mace flows and things with, like, tools and weapons, because, like, I'm still a meathead, and I'm having trouble, like, expressing my movement self. But she unlocked a barrier for me that's, like, think about your bones. Your bones are, like, this hard thing that moves through space. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, like, as someone who identifies hard style movement, with hard style movements, like, my bones. And so, like, I can now comfortably, with people watching, move into a flow, like, expressive state without, like, with confidence, I'll say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Without, like, people are going to think I'm, like, stupid because I'm, like, dancing and it doesn't look good. Right? Yeah. Like, I would go off into the woods and, like, hide and, like, no one's going to see me here. Like, I would hike into, like, parts of the KVR with my mace and, like, hide.
Yeah.
Right? And I'd be like, it's because I just want to be, like, in nature. Right? Like, forest dancing. But I was scared.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, like, now I'm like, oh, okay, I can move and flow. And I went to a wedding last summer and danced sober with my wife for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't letting my limited views of my movement and freedom and expression prevent me from doing something.
Yeah.
And it took 43 years to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
take your skeleton dancing.
Yeah, take your skeleton dancing. Or just whatever. And it is this thing, is like, you know, I would espouse like this rhetoric about aging adventurously and saying yes, but like in my own world, I'm like, well, I'm not gonna do that. It's embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all real. I mean, like, I think we have that in many different aspects of our lives. Yeah. It's just like this little, like, you know, like, oh yeah, that's great. You should do that. They should do that.
Yeah.
But me, I don't know. Like, that's, you know, we kind of, and that's, you know, that just takes acknowledging, but then also kind of like pushing through and giving yourself that permission.
Yeah.
And it's really great that we have people like Mandy who kind of can help kind of facilitate and guide these experiences, because, you know, the chances of you just doing that on your own, going out into the woods, like, it might not have ever happened, but
no. And and this thing, like, if anyone hasn't felt that they have permission yet to move and enjoy movement, again, this is me, Rock Hancock, subject matter expert in all movement-related things, saying you do get to have fun moving. You do get to move. I invite you to move more and find that freedom and liberation in movement again. And if you need guidance or stewardship or space held, then find someone who aligns with your values.
Yeah.
And have them help hold that space for you.
Yeah.
In movement.
Yeah.
Because we all need that. Even I need that.
Yeah. And I feel like that's where, like, I'm not good at setting aside that time for myself. Mm-hmm. But that's where I feel like I really love, like, having classes available. And we are so lucky in this community to have either, you know, fitness classes or a gym or, you know, the Coolie Roots movement space that you work out of. It helps kind of set aside that time and make it intentional, and paying for a whole bunch ahead of time sort of like helps you hold your feet to the fire and like be like, no, I paid for this. I'm
going to go do this. Yeah.
And and after, you know, you might even feel like through a whole session, like, oh, I'm not good at this, or I don't, but like sticking with it, I think is like a huge part of it, because, you know, first you have to like get your body into it, and then your mind will kind of follow.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes one leads the other, sometimes vice versa. Yeah.
And you know, it is this thing of like, there's so much to unpack, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know I had disordered eating history until someone said I had disordered eating history, a colleague.
Oh, yeah.
Cause that's you know, I don't mean any offense by this, but like that's a woman's and a teenage girl's problem. Men don't have disordered eating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
Like, you know, these are inherently like parts of wellness and fitness journeys.
Mm-hmm.
And my colleague at the HMO was like, she wrote a bio for me because I was going to give my first presentation. She's like, you know, Rock has dealt with like disordered eating in history. I was like, no, I haven't. What are you talking about? No, I don't. And I was like, oh, I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I do. And like, so, you know, this is why I say find someone who can help steward you along, because you don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
And you can have that guidance. And empathy and shared values is going to be a huge reason why you stick to it. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't go to your class if people didn't have the same shared values, right?
Yeah, yeah.
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 And so we need these spaces that can hold us, because we are going to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because stuff is going to come up.
Yeah.
Right? And are you okay? I don't know how many times now that people have just cried in mm-hmm. front of me mm-hmm. through personal training mm-hmm. sessions or classes or other things. And we hold that space because stuff comes up. When you start opening up the body,
yeah.
stuff comes up.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel safe, right, like you're not going to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Right. You're not yeah. going to go to a fitness class, and you're not going to heal and grow.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. So you got to find that space.
It's also, yeah. it feels, at least in group, I find group classes to be, because it's, you know, when you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do it to this extent. You
yeah.
know, there's people there to cheer you on. There's people yeah. there to say, yeah. it's okay, like, you know, or like, let mm-hmm. me, you know, give you that little push to help you get going.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you're doing this on your own now,
yeah.
you know, but it's not, it's for me, you know, going alone in a gym, I'm like, am I doing this right? I did like 7 of these.
Yeah.
That feels good enough. This was hard. And
yeah.
But like doing it in a class, be like, oh, they're really pushing through. I see now that I can actually push through a little harder than I thought I was
yeah.
or could.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, it makes a yeah. big difference in that kind of mm-hmm. journey. I, as like somebody like over 40 now,
yeah.
and I said like, oh, after 40, I'm going to start doing this. And then
yeah.
realizing, like, I probably didn't need to wait till 40 to
yeah.
start doing this, but it feels good to, and like,
yeah.
oh, this actually feels good. It's not just
yeah.
good for me,
yeah.
but it's like opened up this whole new like understanding of my body and the strength that I do have.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, having this conversation with you and thinking of like, oh, instead of going to the park and, you know, knitting, like maybe I should go and hang on those monkey bars at least for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to do it the whole time,
yeah.
but it's like opening up my eyes to like new opportunities for movement that I should take advantage of
mm-hmm.
because the reasons not to are much smaller than the reasons to.
Yes. And that's in the psychology of change, right? We talk about like the reason to change has to be stronger than the reason to stay the same,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would also factor in like readiness to change. Like,
yeah.
do you like if you have a family, do you have spousal support,
mm-hmm.
right? If you want to hire a personal trainer, do you have the financial means?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And there are all these things that actually determine you might be ready to like somewhat like, oh, I think I want to change this behavior, but like, if you don't have the time, space, and bandwidth to actually change, well, then
mm-hmm.
that behavior is not going to be addressed. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Don't just buy the gym membership on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, ask yourself, do you have the time to commit to this? Do you have the support to commit with this?
Mm-hmm.
If you're the primary cook, is someone else going to take over
yeah.
the cooking responsibility so you can go work out?
Yeah.
Because that matters.
Yeah.
Right? Having the space and time and support.
Yeah.
And again, like, you know, we say you have to go at this alone, right? It's silly because like humans are inherently social creatures,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And this whole going at it alone in multiple domains is silly. Like no one survives in the wilderness alone if they break their leg.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. You break your leg, you're done.
Right.
Right. In the
yeah.
wild because you're alone.
Yeah.
And so like we do need to like, and like community fitness, like small group training. These are wonderful things because they're a shared experience. And then you have not commitment just to yourself, but to the group.
Yeah.
Right. And then sometimes that can like hijack that, like, oh, I don't want to let my group down, so I got to show up, right? Because we're like, of disappointing people.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a little bit of, like, some negativity that can come up in those situations. Or, like, you worked out and you weren't ready for a level of intensity and you get hurt, and then you don't feel like you belong in that group of people at that gym.
Yeah.
And that's a negative. But, like, for the most part, like, working out and moving together is socializing. It is fun, and, like, it should be. Like, I tried to do adult recesses at Dragon Park this past summer, and I got, like, no signups.
Yeah.
Like, people did not want to do adult recess. One, I don't think they, like, knew exactly what it was, or they had an idea.
Yeah.
But it was a silly thing. I was like, no one wants to come play in the park as an adult.
You got one. You got one for this year. I'm in.
But adults don't play.
Yeah.
Right? We compete recreationally. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't just amorphous open-ended play on the playground.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I have to go sign up for, like, adult league basketball.
Yeah.
Right? There has to be this, like, organized, semi-competitive, but not competitive thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because we don't know how to just play anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I wish I sometimes lived in town, because I would just go to, like, people's houses, like, do you want to come out and play?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how fun would that be? Like, in our 40s, like, a friend just came over without making sure our schedule was free. They just came over, rode their bike, and like, hey, do you want to go play at the park?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how awesome would the world be if adults rode bikes to each other's houses to play?
I am for that so much, and also I'm for showing my kids that you just knock on somebody's door. You just go down to their house and knock on the door. Yeah. We don't have to set up a text agreement ahead of time.
Are you free on the calendar dates of such, such, and such?
Yeah. Right?
Let's schedule a play date.
Yeah.
Like, just go play.
Just go play. Just show up.
Yeah, and knock on 5 different people's houses. Someone might be available.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or just show up to the playground and see who else is around.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's, you know, we're hyper scheduled in our world, and it would be good to kind of revert back to our childhoods in that way.
It would be, and, like, not just for children's sake, but for, like, all of ours. Like, didn't we have a labor movement where we were supposed to have time for the job and then time for ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what happened to that. Like, in Wisconsin, it was really big in the labor movement.
Yes.
And now people are working, like, 60, 70 hours a week again. Like,
yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. All our, we want to spend a lot of money on a lot of things. Amazon keeps showing up at our door, and somehow we got to pay for it.
Got to pay for it. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it would be, good if we had more kind of valued those things at the same level as we value passive entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we make plenty of time for television or plenty of time for, you know, going out to expensive dinner or whatever it might be, generally, broadly speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, do we make time for keeping our bodies kind of engaged and active? And
on the fancy dinner note, there's a really sweet rail outside the Driftless Cafe in Noble Rind. So you can go. And if you have to wait, there's a really fun rail you can play on. You could bounce on it. You could vault over it. My kids and I, whenever we're, like, on that little stretch, like, we play on the rail.
Yes.
And people look at us funny sometimes. And sometimes people are like, oh, I wish I was young again. And I just let it go, because that's not the time to soapbox and say, well, here's your invitation, right?
But right.
Go get a sandwich or a meal and play on the rail. It is a sweet spot.
That's a really good point. You know, when those outdoor live music events are happening and people are gathered all along there, the kids are always on the rail. The kids are jumping up and sliding through and climbing on or standing along it. And, like,
Yeah.
That's a really good point. That those opportunities, maybe that would be like parkour kind of stuff, but those opportunities,
they're
like
there.
The kind of the parkour eyes kind of see those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, they're definitely there.
Yeah.
We are coming down towards the end here. We got a couple minutes left. So you teach classes.
I teach classes.
Tell folks how they can find you, follow you, get involved in some of these classes.
Because
they sound like a lot of fun, and I'm gonna sign myself up for some and challenge myself in new ways of moving. New old ways of moving.
New old ways, exactly. Human ways.
Human ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
So my business is Strength Play Nature. If you just Googled Strength Play Nature, It'll come up. It is the only one in its existence.
Nice.
You can follow me, Strength Play Nature, on social media, Instagram and Facebook. And I have flyers up around town. So we're currently in the middle. We just started a 6-week series at Cooley Roots. And I'm putting this out there because I got to manifest it. I will have a really rad Black Locust playground on my farm located between Ontario and Wilton, where I'll be hosting all kinds of catalyst-like experiences in and around movement and play.
Ooh.
And that needs to be built by June because I'm hosting 2 MoveNat certifications late summer, 1 in August and 1 in September. So I have to get my ducks in a row and build out all this infrastructure.
Yeah, that sounds great. The ground will eventually thaw and you can get there.
Yeah, we will get there. Yeah. Yeah, so Strength Play Nature, and I'm Rock.
Yeah, Rock. This has been a very inspiring and a kind of very exciting conversation, and just really has me thinking about the ways that I used to move, the ways that I should maybe start moving again, just to, you know, the use it or lose it kind of mindset. And I'm kind of in this new strength journey in the last couple of years. And so I think I need to add maybe some vaulting to that, because I was walking in the woods last summer with my kids, and here's a downed tree.
Yeah.
And they vault over it because they're young, and I run up to it. And then I kind of just like stopped and climbed over, thinking like, oh, my knees, oh, my hands, oh, what if I face plant? Yeah. And so, you know, I didn't go around it. I did climb over it.
Yeah.
But next time I want to vault over it.
Yeah.
So you're going to see me at one of these classes.
Awesome.
and learning some new old skills again. Well, thank you so much. This has been a ton of fun.
Yes,
and,
it's been great.
Yeah. Love these conversations. All right. We'll talk to you later. All right, and turning to the upcoming events here at the Driftless Folk School, we have mid-March the Clawhammer Basic Banjo with Brennan Henry Allsworth. He's the one that does this fabulous Folk School intro and outro that you've heard. Bow Drill Fire starting with Nicholas Wazi Gale on the 21st of March. That's super cool, traditional skill. And that is that's a full-day course, so that's really cool to learn all of those things. Poetics of Place, Writing at the Intersection of Ruralness and Queerness is coming up on the 22nd. Herbal First Aid with Linda Conroy, March 28th. Value Your Voice with Allie Smalley. We had her on last early summer, so check out that. And she is March 28th, Saturday class, just afternoon. But that's Value Your Voice, Musical Mastery Through Movement and Mantra. So that's super cool. Then there at the very end of March, we've got Herbs and Fermentation for Digestive Health, also with Linda Conroy, and Fruit Tree Grafting. Yay, spring! Fruit Tree Grafting coming up on the March 29th with Ricardo. And yeah, that gets us all the way through March, folks. There's a lot happening. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Folk School Radio Hour. I'm Julie Tomorrow, and you've been listening to WDRT 91.9 in Viroqua.